Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. We're joined again by Colin Bird, Chairman of Xtract Resources. Welcome, Colin.
Thank you.
Yeah, so obviously saw today the news of advice that representative drill core samples from obviously Racecourse and Ascot prospects are being prepped for dispatch to an independent laboratory. Does it look to us like there's evidence of multiple development tasks being carried out in parallel, drilling, assaying, modelling, and now benefication tasks for flow sheet development?
That's right. This work's got to be concurrent, not sequential. It's, you know, to be a death of the thousand lashes again. I use that expression a lot, but no, it's fairly fundamental to the work we're doing. You know, there's been some debate about moly. The Ascot has shown quite a lot higher values of moly. So we've got to find out how that behaves in concentrate, how it reports to concentrate. We've got to find out how the silver does. We've got to find the gold and, of course, the copper, what recoveries we're going to get, what the final concentrate looks like, and how we can separate possibly separately silver. Can we separate gold separately? And in that Cadia, you know, and around Australia, they are in actual fact building a new moly plant. But don't let's concentrate on moly at the moment, because moly, we've got it, it's early days with the moly, but it's certainly got geological significance. The increase in gold, the increase in the moly makes us believe that we're closer to the source at our Ascot proposition than we are at Racecourse. And of course, as you know, we're pretty happy with Racecourse. So yes, and it's a concurrent activity, because we've announced that we're going to redo the conceptual model. You know that we've flattened the southern resource, the southern boundaries, and flattened the northern boundaries of Racecourse. That open pit is much bigger than we envisaged when we made the announcement last year. We're talking about mines of 20, 25 years, and we're talking about tons of about 20 million tons a year. That's where we think we're at. So we need to know the grade. But of course, if you're doing a financial calculation, you need to know the capital that needs to be employed. You need the direct operating cost to do your discounted cash flow models. But to arrive at the revenue, of course, you've got to know what the recoveries are, what sort of concentrate you're producing, and what the marketplace at the moment is paying for that type of concentrate. So payability of concentrate is very, very important as to how much physical or, you know, how much metal is lost in the processing. So recovery, final concentrate, how the metals present, and the payability as we sit in this day and age are very important and fundamental. I keep using that word, fundamental to the conceptual study.
Yeah, I think last time we spoke, you made it pretty clear that the decision had been made internally to kind of get works going and the decision to mine, and obviously having that bearing for the trigger point as well. Is this just another kind of announcement that things are going, things are moving in the background, you're getting pretty close to wrapping this all up, really?
Yeah, well, as I say, it's fundamental, pivotal, use which word you need, but the market must know that the first round, if you like, the first conceptual study, that was pretty general. This next one won't be anywhere near as general. You'll be doing it against what we believe is the resource at Racecourse. As I've given you some parameters, which I think will be the parameters, the grade. And so it's no good having that without the processed information. So it's all part of getting towards that final. And I've said it once, and I'll say it again, I'm hoping that the 2 million tons and the decision to mine are concurrent at Racecourse. And then what a nice situation to be. What we've got at Ascot is never going to be a freebie. And so the expression to say comes for free would be so stupid it can't be true. But it does not make Ascot very, very attractive when you've seen the enhanced gold values coming through, the copper values are high. And we're looking at different chemistry. So we're looking at, you know, when we talk about Cadia, multi-mineralization styles, multi-porphyries, it's very much looking that way. Really looking very, very exciting. So everything we're doing is aimed at getting us to that decision point whereby we say to our buyer, our first right of refusal buyer, this is it. This is what we got. And as you know, I think I've been very clear, is we've got a mine what looks like it works. We've got 2 million tons, and there's Ascot, which probably is as big, but it's got gold in it, moly in it, and everything else in it.
Yeah, the great news about the moly credits. So basically, as time goes on, are you more and more convinced that this is a world-class tier one asset that you've got on your hands?
Absolutely, Phil. Absolutely. You know, we drilled 40 holes now. We set up with 71 million tons. We drilled 6 boreholes to get us some confidence. The one that we put right through the heart of it, you know, would give us 1,100 meters of quite satisfactory copper grades. And as you know, and I don't think the market really appreciated this, but, you know, those other 5 holes we drilled in phase one, we were just shooting in the dark. We really were shooting in the dark. But it gave us the confidence to do the geophysics. We did the geophysics, and, you know, not every time in life the geophysics works, Phil. Not every time. I've had some disappointments with geophysics. But this time round, is it shale? Is it water? No. We've obviously had copper mineralization and gold mineralization. So the geophysics has worked beautifully. When we did the last round of geophysics between phase one and phase two, we had some constraints because the forestry, you know, they were working in the forest and they wouldn't let go. You'd let, you know, take that electrical apparatus while they were working in the forest. We're now free to work in the forest. So we're running a line of geophysics between in the 1.5 kilometers between racecourse. We're running those geophysics to the south of racecourse and firming that up. So what we'll do is we'll get better definition because we had a lot of success with these geophysics. And we just feel that we just have to question what's the story between racecourse and Ascot, because we're so different in chemistry, it's very unlikely that it's been faulted out. And we really think that we can take this racecourse quite a long way further south. It's a big boy now, but it's growing bigger all the time. And then, of course, what are we going to do, Ascot? We've got to have enough drill holes to be able to join up and get another inferred resource. And that, as you say, is all concurrent. The geophysics, we're hoping to start in mid-Feb and get them finished by the middle of March. The drill is churning away as we sit. I'm currently contemplating that we bring a second machine back because of, you know, what we've seen at racecourse. But I've got a target. We've got a target. The board's got a target. We communicated that target. We shared that target. May, June. You cannot keep, it's not a bloody calendar. You know, you can't keep drilling. You can't keep drilling. You've actually got to get to decision point. And that's 2 million tons, decision to mine, and some real definition down at Ascot.
And then sell it.
And then sell it. Well, they're not obliged to buy it, of course. And, you know, it's a very big marketplace.
I didn't say that AA will buy it. Whoever buys it.
Look, I mean, there's not many projects like this. I mean, you know, one went in Argentina. Jose Maria, the other week, $485 million. I look at those figures and not so different to what we've got or where we think we're going. Now, consider $485 million in Argentina, you know, where you've got some failure on sovereign debt and bonds aren't being paid, inflation, sky high, all of those good things. And then look at something close by Sydney in a country that has got a great mining reputation. And I think it was before Christmas, the governor announced that they were going to do everything they could to support mining, and in particular copper mining, which is going to be part of the new age metals and the new age industrial revolution. So
yeah, and if you happen to find a third porphyry as well,
I don't know. We're certain that we're in a multiple porphyry environment. And, you know, we have reported in some of those boreholes, even in racecourse, that we've gone over intervals, which could be peaks of other porphyries. We're suspicious, hopeful is better than suspicious, that this Ascot is creeping slowly to surface. And we're hoping that the gold values, like our neighbours, the gold values near the surface are probably quite a bit higher even than this hole. So
we will just consider sticking the for sale sign with $1 billion written on it and see what happens.
Well, I think the market knows that part of the development process of establishing what is a project worth, there's obviously NPV models, which is very judgmental, can be subjective. But the development model has to take into consideration the shareholders' early risk, and it has to take in recent sales in the last couple of years of similar type properties, and then, of course, factor in by things like stripping ratio, environmental issues, if any, and political risk. So, you know, there's a few lines in the sand now again on previous examples in the last 2 years. And so the valuer will have hopefully a very good tonnage. He'll have what is a pretty typical grade for porphyries. He'll be able to create his own DCF model. He will be able to look at recent transactions and make comparisons. So I don't think we're a million miles away, Kevin. I've actually, as I sit now, subject to Ascot, of course, subject to Ascot. I know I've got an internal feeling of what Racecourse is worth, but with Ascot coming in very early days, that's obviously additional value. And I know at this moment, I'm very open-minded on what that value might be.
You're going to need a bigger calculator.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, if we'd have started with Ascot, there's no reason why we should. We didn't even know it was there, of course. then we might be looking at this from a different angle. The charter is 71 million ton. We've built it up beautifully. We've designed an open pit around it. We've knocked the north and south boundaries into oblivion, and we've extended. And now we find Ascot. So is there a third porphyry? I think there's... I don't know how many Cadia's got, 6 or 7, I think, and all different mineralization styles. So it just shows how fertile that Lachlan Fold is, and that we're in a great part of it. An extract a couple of years ago when they made this acquisition made a good acquisition.
Yeah, and you're currently worth about £45 million or $60 million.
That's right.
So there might be a bit of upside in this one.
There should be a stack, hopefully. That's what we're doing it for. That's what we're working away for. We're working away for our shareholders. We're working away to find them that value. We're working away to deliver maximum value. And I know we're a bit range-bound at the moment, 450 to 550. But that's the nature of the beast. There are those who are saying, oh, I'll wait to see if there's any slip-ups. There are others who are saying, well, there's other events to happen before the value goes up. I'll wait for it to de-risk a bit. And there's others saying, why should I go for a long-term hold? These guys are going to take 6 months, you know. So the decision point now for the investors is, do I want to position myself in this company looking for a 10-bagger or whatever bagger? Or do I want to trade in the range? And I guess that, you know, that everybody makes their own decisions, Kevin. And does it really matter at this stage? I'd love to see the share price higher. I really would. But I tell you what, I'm doing everything I possibly can on whatever front I can to maximize this share price and therefore the market capitalization. And it's better to go in discussions with a strong market cap than it is to apologizing for a weak market cap.
And I mean, ultimately, we've said it before on other podcasts that the current market cap is underpinned by all the other assets that you hold within Extract, even valuing... what's happening down in Australia, probably zero. So it's a bit crazy, really, ultimately. But again, let's hope that common sense in the market starts to value it with some sense over the coming months, and we will see.
Isn't it strange, Kevin? You know, you've got a very good point there. Isn't it strange? I just wonder if there was no Lachlan and we produced the sort of results in the alluvials, and everybody knows that there's a gold mine coming on stream, you know, shortly. And we know that we've got 23% of the operating cash flows, and that gold is, you know, gold's quite on the move, quite nice, $60 a gram. Isn't it interesting? To me, it intrigues me. What value would they give extra?
I think probably not much different than it is now.
Without Australia, I look across the board, I mean, and if we're producing those sort of numbers and looking forward to the sort of numbers we're talking about, I think we'd have a market cap of where we are now in any event, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I think it wouldn't be far off it.
We wish you all the luck, Colin, and news has been coming thick and fast over the last couple of weeks, but we await the next news with great anticipation.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thanks, Phil. Thank you, Kevin.
Take care.
Yep. All the best.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.